we do it.
Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gunvalson and Lee Radswell, along with my co-hosts Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer. Welcome to PCP Pop Culture. Ahoy! Pop culture popping this week?
Always. It's always popping.
It's kind of weird actually to talk about because we wanted her on our podcast. We thought about it. We may have toyed with it when she had her episodes where she was on Twitter a lot. And I know her Twitter is private, but Nate is amongst the chosen few.
Got in on the ground floor.
I DM'd with her. Yeah, once she was looking for Uber money, one of those weird middle of the night tweets that she's famous for. And I kind of DM'd her and I was like, well, what if I give her? I remember I was telling you guys, like, what if I give her enough and just like, don't pay me back, just come on PCP. Anyway, she stabbed us in the back and she started her own podcast. Stable legend, 90s icon, Amanda Bynes.
Yep. Yeah, her new podcast is called Amanda Bynes and Paul Siminski, The Podcast, which is really awkward because that was our running name when we first started. So it feels wrong that somebody stole it. I watched it because the only way I could find it is video streaming on Spotify. I could not find it on like Apple Podcasts, could not find it like audio streaming. It's just the video. Mm-hmm. But I found it eventually and watched it. It's like, it's only 26 minutes long. It's a rough start. The very first episode, they had on a tattoo artist named Dahlia Moth. Not terribly exciting. The thing that kind of struck me is just how awkward and uncomfortable Amanda is. You'd think that the Paul Siminski, the partner with the podcast, he's not an actor. He's a good friend of hers. He's a biochemist. If you actually go look at the video, he looks like Jesus, just like Jesus, long hair, beard. He's wearing like a skirt thing, but it looks like he's wearing like flowing robes. So it literally looks like Jesus.
Does he look like white Jesus or historically accurate Jesus?
Jared Leto Jesus.
Okay.
Not as attractive as Jared Leto Jesus, just that look.
Cult white, dirty, white cult.
Yes,
cult
like a dirty hippie.
More cult leader. Yes, more okay. cult leader than anything else. Okay.
Like Manson. Yeah, vibe.
But it's she has no sort of intro. It just goes straight from her introducing it. She says, hi, I'm Amanda. This is Paul. This is the Amanda and Paul podcast. Then just immediately starts talking to the guest. She's looking at her phone to read off questions and she's monotone, no charisma, which is crazy. Like if you're an Amanda Bynes fan from the early aughts, crazy charisma in everything. And she's just,
she had the chance to do the funniest thing there with this first episode and this intro, and is to introduce it in character as, this is Penelope Tay, Amanda's number one fan, please. Welcome to Amanda Bynes podcast.
Yeah, see, that would have been great.
I think Paul has sucked the life out of her. If he looks like a cult leader, he probably is a cult leader.
Well, the sad thing is my thought looking at her is like, she just seems real. I mean, alleged, I don't mean to, you know, but she just seems like somebody who's on a lot of medication, which I understand.
She is vulnerable.
As somebody who's on a lot of medication, I feel like I can say that. But given that in the last year and a half, she's been 5150 twice, including once where she was walking around naked in downtown LA. She's only three years removed from the conservatorship. So I love seeing her. This is her first public performance type thing in, I think this somebody said a decade. I thought it maybe a decade because she has not acted or anything. So when I say a rough start, I'm hoping it gets better. And she even said there's the reason she started with a local tattoo artist is she flat out said from the beginning, we want to start small. I want to start with my friends so I get comfortable, and then we'll go for bigger people.
That's smart.
So expect that phone call, Jordan. We can do like a home and home where we do her podcast, she does ours. A couple 5150s cutting it up.
I was going to ask, like, now I'm all into it. I'm like, maybe she needs help now. Where does she, you said it's video. Where does she record? Is it studio or is it at
It looks home? Like a studio. It looks like a studio. Because all three of them were in the same room and there was kind of a cool looking background. It definitely, I mean, it could be at her home, but it looked like a studio. Mm. But again, she's just so robotic, which is so unusual for an actor like that. I would have made sense if he, like he is, like I said, a biochemist. If he had been wooden and awkward, would have made sense. But he was very over, you know, charismatic. He was a great host. He got the knack of it immediately. So that just made it more jarring that she was so bad.
And what were they talking about?
Just tattoo stuff.
I didn't.
It was just awkward. She was just she was literally reading questions off her phone. It was very very. I both recommend and don't recommend watching it. It's 26 minutes long, but it's just odd. It's very weird. She's not as polished as we are, obviously.
Few people are. No, few people are. But I think we just discover the next thrill. I think we're going to have to get on Amanda Bynes' podcast.
I'll put
it. Yes.
First I was like, well, we should invite her on. But you know, my thinking is, she should invite us on.
It's true.
She just doesn't know it yet. So maybe we'll reach out.
And I will say she has not tweeted asking for money in a while now. Like that used to be a nightly thing where she would tweet out these really bizarre, hey, I'm stuck somewhere. Please, can somebody send me $28? And it was always a really random amount, like $37 or $28. I'm stuck somewhere. And it was very odd. She's not doing that anymore. So that's good.
Yeah. I think I had set my limit at $200 to get her on. It was like, I wonder how much it would take, like if she's really stuck on an Uber, like to get her on the podcast. But we'll see. We shouldn't reveal these secrets.
No, because now it's going to be really awkward when she's on our podcast next week and people are going to be like, oh, they paid her $200.
Yeah.
They got her an Uber.
Like... they gave her a ride and like a meal. That's all it took.
Oh, God.
We're doing the Lord's work here at PCP.
Door dashed her some Del Taco. She came right on board.
I mean, honestly, if any podcast wanted me on, you just Door dash me some Shake Shack. I'll do it. Like, honestly, let's go for this. Yeah.
There's honestly. Very little I wouldn't do for Door dash Del Taco, to be honest with you.
Oof.
Yeah.
How much do you How miss you it? Date?
So much. So much. You don't know what you got until it's gone. I got Taco Bell's here. Not the same. No. Nope. They don't hit the same when you got Del Taco up against it.
What else? Oh, we have some love going on. Well, maybe not. Who knows? But there's that great picture of new power couple, Kevin Costner and Jewel photographed together.
Yeah. What an odd coupling. I think. I don't know enough about Jewel to say that, but I just didn't have that on my
Well, she likes a cowboy. She was married to a rodeo guy. Ty and Murray. Has a child.
Yeah, I was gonna say she likes a man who can pull off a cowboy hat, and I think we can all admit Kevin Costner can pull off a cowboy hat.
Yeah, exactly.
The age is perfectly that's right in his wheelhouse because she's 19 years younger than him. Mm-hmm. She's only 40. Okay. I want to say she's only 49, but I feel like we've grown up with Jewel because there's an entire generation now that might not know who Jewel is, which is a crime. Yeah.
Or they only know her from when she did the Intuition shaver commercials and stuff. And I remember thinking, I was like, get your money, but oh no, Jewel, no. But hey, whatever. I mean, I remember Jewel's, the whole story about her, like living in her car.
Alaska.
I remember her from that. So I only remember her mostly from that famous song, which would actually be the funniest. I don't know if he'll do it to propose or if he'll do it as their wedding vows if it goes that far, where like I want him to like get down on one knee or whatever they do and be like, What is it called? Like, these are my hands.
Oh, hands. They're small. I know. Yeah, yeah.
He takes her hand. Yeah, yeah. Just like a play on that. This could be the wedding vows or the when he slips the ring on.
Jewel was so talented that in the mid to late 90s, she was topping the charts with yodeling. Like she was yodeling. That's what she was famous for. And she was she was bangers of her yodeling.
Yep. Oh my God. Well, if he's smart, Kevin Costner will never get married again. Because like
I was gonna say, like how many safeguards do you think he's going to have going forward? Because the first time he learned his lesson, then this time he realized that his ironclad prenup probably could have been slightly more ironclad. So with Jewel, he probably mentioned prenup on the first date.
Yeah, but I mean, the only thing more ironclad than a prenup is just not getting married.
That too. That too. Yeah.
Like, there we go.
Kevin Costner, so when you were saying he's younger than her and stuff, he's 19 years younger. No, she's older, 49.
Older than her.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant she's 19 years younger. Yeah. It's actually good because the rule, I learned this from the Millionaire Matchmaker, the rule for men like him is what's appropriate is half his age plus seven. If it's the May-December thing. So he's 68, which would be 34 41, plus seven. 41. So 49 is actually, and at that point in life, they're close enough in age. Maybe they watched different TV shows as a kid, but
that math is so funny because that would make his ideal mate then is 27 years younger than him. That math is bizarre.
But so you're saying I still have a chance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. In that range.
Oh yeah, and this because this math is for just basically the bare minimum age of what's appropriate. It's not saying that's like your target. Well, for some guys, then the bare minimum, the bare minimum is the target. But you know what I mean. Yeah. That's like a guideline for mentally, like how to figure out if it's age that, appropriate.
For me, that would be 28, which I feel like a 28-year-old has way too much energy for me. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I want to, you know, just not. And I don't even, obviously an early 20s is considerably different, but I feel like even a 28-year-old lives too fast for me.
It's so funny because for years the joke was that most of your girlfriends were very young for a very long time.
Oh yeah. No. In my early to mid 30s, I was that half plus seven rule. I was following it pretty closely. unfortunately. Let's move on from that. Yeah.
Actually, Dr. Stacy's on this case.
He's having some regrets.
No regrets.
Maybe this is why a double hip replacement by 40.
I lived way out of my means.
Physically as well as emotionally.
Physically out of my means, yeah. But I'm hoping
this be a lesson to all the young men out there, all the young heterosexual men who listen to our podcast, because we know there are so many, but let this be a lesson to you. Watch out for those younger ladies. They will ruin your hips.
They will put you in medical debt in your early 40s. It's not good. It's not good. Hey, but you know what? If Jewel's able to stick around, if she can stick around for how long were he and Christine married? Like 18 years? She too can get a $63,000 a month payout, which is less than half of what she wanted. I imagine Jewel has some money, I would hope, but I don't know. Yeah. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I guess from this is such a horrible transition. Yeah. Let's just go with it. Yeah. Let's own it.
Okay.
From finding love in Yellowstone to domestic trouble in the Marvel universe.
Yes. Jonathan Majors. Who's an actor who, Jordan, you said you weren't really familiar with him. So he's a household name.
Do I sound like someone who like reads comic books or has like a comic book movie?
That's fair. He's kind of was up and coming in every way, and that he was doing these indie movies where he's getting like a lot of acting recognition for his talent while also starring in these huge blockbuster movies. He was the antagonist in the newest Creed movie with Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm. And now he essentially is the center of the Marvel universe, kind of this new phase that they're doing. The last everything in the, you know, if you're a fan of Marvel, if you're not, everything in the first few phases where like Josh Brolin was the main bad guy and everything revolved around him. All the characters, like he was the bad guy throughout. Jonathan Majors is supposed to be that going forward. And now Marvel doesn't know what to do because, yeah, like we said, he's currently on trial for domestic violence. He's only been charged with misdemeanors, which still is violence, obvious violence, but not felonies. He's been charged with harassment and assault, misdemeanor harassment assault from an ex-girlfriend from earlier this year, back in March. And essentially what happened is he and the girlfriend at the time were in the back of a car service in New York, got into an argument, which they both acknowledged that there was an argument having to do with she saw something on his phone that looked like it came from another woman. They got into a fight and she says that it turned physical where she had to escape, get out of the car and essentially escape him. One of the things that didn't look great in her favor early on is that there was footage of her going to a club right afterwards because she was saying that she had suffered injuries from this attack from him, but then she was seen at a club, which people were like, oh, that's not, the optics on that are not great. But she claimed all along that she acknowledged she did go to a club afterwards, but because she just didn't want to be alone. They live together. She's like, I don't want to go home to a home we share and be alone. So I'm going to go to a club with people.
Like escape a bad situation.
Yeah, no. So it was a perfectly valid thing, but the optics of her being on surveillance video doing tequila shots is not great. But the trial took a turn just a couple days in this week because there was another incident last year. They've been together for a while, and this ex-girlfriend's British. So there was an incident last year that happened in London, another domestic violence incident that the judge for this case is not allowing the details from that previous case to be used in this trial because the judge said it's a completely different thing. But the weird thing is the judge is not allowing the details to be said in this trial, but is allowing text messages about the previous incident to be read aloud at this trial. So essentially this week, Jonathan Majors' texts were read aloud from last year for this incident they're not supposed to be bringing up. And this makes it worse for him because now people can just picture in their head what the details were last year because they're reading these texts and these texts are really bad for him. Really bad. He all but admits attacking her in the text where he tells her just the age old thing of, he gets her to say, if you have to go to a doctor, tell him you bumped your head. Mm-hmm. And she goes along with it. She said
I walked into the door.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, he's basically begging her not to go to a doctor, not to go to the hospital because they're going to ask questions and you don't want to do that to us. You don't want to do that to me. Like, don't do that. You know, and then she's like, but I kind of have to. And he's like, well, she's like, I'll just tell him I bumped my head or something. He's like, he's scared for himself. He doesn't give a shit about her. He's scared for himself. And
And he even called himself in these texts to her. He called himself a monster. He said, maybe I'm a monster and a horrible man. Maybe I don't deserve it. And then he does the true trying to flip it around where he threatens to kill himself multiple times over text, where he just basically he's, you know, playing the victim and he's like, maybe I should just kill myself. It's not worth me living. And again, this is all for a previous case, a previous incident. This, the thing that he's on trial for now.
And this incident involved, this was against
same woman,
another incident against her.
Same woman, okay, but they were a year apart. Again, like I said, had those texts not been allowed, this case could have been somewhat flimsy only because it's they're in the back of a car and they're bringing the driver up this week. He's testifying. And obviously it was a he said, she said, but now there's the driver who was in the car with them. Mm-hmm. So that'll be that'll be truly what happened. But it could have gone either way if these texts from the previous one weren't allowed just because of the optics involved.
This is creative. Like, I know I was reading an article, you know, I'm like not super into the like Marvel. I doubt I've ever seen a Marvel movie, but I was reading about the the trouble this has caused on the business end for, you know, Marvel is owned by Disney, yeah. I believe. Mm-hmm. And on these, the Marvel universe, whatever they call it, the Marvelverse,
yeah.
is anchoring movies right now in theaters, and it draws in so much revenue. And he was, it's, the centerpiece of their strategy going forward, and he was the star of this, of this, their new mine, their anchor, and now they have to re-strategize,
like, yeah, not
out, phase him out, replace him,
because not only was he the center of this universe, he's already been established, so recasting, it's an issue.
Yeah,
he, well, already, also, he was the villain.
Well, but also Chadwick Boseman was kind of a whole recentering of the Marvel universe before he died. You know what I mean? So then, in a sense, Jonathan Majors was not exactly a replacement. There's a lot more going on there still. So please don't come at me, Marvel people. But like, but still, there is a bit of a recentering with Jonathan Majors from a switch from Chadwick Boseman. So now again, it's like a third time. Like, oh, what the fuck? Yeah, sorry.
This is like a $1 billion issue.
It's honestly, it's very similar to what happened with Ezra Miller last year, where Ezra Miller had this huge tentpole movie that they starred in that was already made. Unlike, so with this one, Jonathan Majors has already starred in the Ant-Man sequel with Paul Rudd. That already came out. But now movies going forward, there's a new Avengers that's coming out either next year, no, either 25 or 26, that's called Avengers the Kang Dynasty. He plays Kang. He's the main villain. So it's like, well, we already introduced him, so it's hard to go a different route. We could recast it. It's a big problem for Marvel, and the last thing they need are problems.
Well, you know, Warner Brothers, granted, different company, but Warner Brothers, HBO Max, they got rid of the Batgirl movie that was already in the can.
Yeah.
So... you know what? They could get rid of that if they wanted to. Also, I want to go back real quick.
They got rid of that. I was going to say they got rid of that episode of The Gilded Age after the accusations against Christine Baranski, you know.
What?
Your edibles can't.
Yeah, it is kicking in.
Your edibles not kicking in.
Right. Yeah.
I was just like floating some rumors about beloved actress Christine Baranski. Yeah. See if they stick.
Please don't. Please don't. Like, we need some hope.
Yeah, Carol Lombard's family wasn't litigious enough. Now you're going after the Baranskis. Right.
Come at me.
But I want to go back real quick because of the thing about Jonathan Majors' ex-girlfriend. Was her name is Grace, I believe.
Grace Jabari,
them coming after, yes, the optics aren't great about her going to a bar afterwards, but it is understandable. Yeah, you don't want to go home because he's there, and what will he do to you, and I don't know where to go, and there's a moment, and somebody, like, you just don't know. But also, I just want to bring up the point that, like, a lot of times in DV cases and SA cases, a woman is really just tried and hanged for any alcohol use. Whereas with the man, it's an excuse for behavior. Mm. Whereas for a woman, it is a reason for behavior. It's like, well, she did this, so I guess it was okay. You know what I mean? As opposed to he has a problem with alcohol. Therefore, he has problems controlling anger or controlling this or whatever like that. I'm not saying it's like necessarily this case, but in general, that's a lot of times it's like, oh, he's so sad. It's so bad that he hits his wife. He's an alcoholic. We need to show him some grace. I'm sorry. Like, plenty of alcoholics don't beat people. You know what I mean?
Obviously his lawyer is going in pretty heavy, about her going, like, parsing that video, the surveillance video at the bar, saying like, oh, you said you hurt your hand. We can see in this video that you're using that hand to take drinks. A fun little Bravo tie-in is Jonathan Majors' defense attorney, the one who's attacking the accuser. Her name's Priya Chaudhry. I don't know if that name sounds familiar. She's Jen Shaw's attorney.
No way.
Like Jen Shaw's.
What a great track record.
Yeah, not yeah. great. Not great.
What a great, great track
yeah,
record.
Yeah. So she's 0 for, well, I'm sure she has wins in her back, but yeah. Did not great. Not great. Another really weird thing is over the last, so this all happened in March. So his career sort of been spiraling since, like the movies that he's already made are studios, the smaller budget studios, like, yeah, we're not releasing that. So he's been trying to sort of get his reputation back. Even again, this is misdemeanor charges. So even if he's found guilty and it's jail time and all that is minimal because it's a misdemeanor, but his career is torched. It doesn't even matter now. It doesn't matter if he's acquitted or anything.
Yeah, there are billions of dollars riding on. And with Marvel owned by Disney, which I know Marvel isn't part of the fairy tale Mickey Mouse and Cinderella part of Disney, but they still have an image.
It's still a bunch of fairy tales.
An image. Yeah. So, I mean, something like that just doesn't fit in with their branding.
Mm-hmm. Well, so much. Well, neither did Pretty Woman, but they still made that film.
Yeah.
There we go. Oh my gosh. Well, one last sad, speaking of Pretty Woman and sad love stories, and love story, R.A.P. or R.I.H. Ryan O'Neill. He passed away. We've had a lot of people, and I just see.
What does the H stand for?
Rest in hell.
Because it could go the other way too. It could go rest in heaven. But I just want to see which way you were going with that.
We're going downstairs to where Henry Kissinger is. I mean, they're partying together. Let's say that.
Yeah.
I've read the book. I've read Tatum, his daughter Tatum's book. Mm-hmm. So like I, again, not a big movie person, but I'm fascinated. I love dramatic Hollywood families and those lives. Oh. So I know all about the history with Farrah Fawcett and Tatum O'Neal's children. And so, you know, wasn't known as Father of the Year necessarily.
Yeah, I think Father's Day was a really hard day every year for his children.
Yeah, Tatum has not tweeted a statement. She has retweeted Barbara Streisand, New York Times, and People Magazine. But as far as herself, she has not issued a statement yet paying tribute to him.
Yeah, because he had Tatum with a previous spouse. I don't recall if it was a girlfriend or a wife, but he had two or three kids with Farrah. Mm-hmm. Those kids.
No. He only had one with Farrah.
Was it Redman? Okay. I didn't know if he had more than
and
one.
He only had one. That was Redman. And then he had three, I believe, from a prior marriage, and it was Tatum and two sons.
Okay.
And one of the sons does well. He's a sportscaster. He lives a quiet, normal life. Very, very, usually I say stable as a joke. No, very, like, he's normal. He's the one who made it out. Tatum's had a rocky road. She was the one married to John McEnroe. His other son, Ryan, and him, a few years ago, the cops were called in Malibu. They were like in a fist fight in their living room. So probably not a great family relationship there. And then Redman, his son with Farrah, he's at a very
in and out of rehab, a lot of arrests. Yeah,
he lost his mother and stuff. So yeah. Oh, and then there was a time I had to say at Farrah's funeral. Did you ever hear this story with Tatum? At Farrah's funeral, you know, they're fairly estranged, Tatum and Ryan, or were. And I'm not trying to, like, celebrate that he died. But a fun fact story. At Farrah's funeral, which was back in 2009, he hadn't seen his daughter, Tatum, in a long time. Mm-hmm. And they're outside after the
funeral service.
And not recognizing his own daughter, he hit on her.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the age difference thing, the Kevin Costner Jewel age difference thing.
Yeah,
and she was like dad, it's me.
It's like, it's like, not only did you hit on a woman at your wife's funeral, but then you hit on your own daughter. That's so gross. Like, oh my gosh.
He hit on his daughter at his ex-wife's funeral.
That's why I'm just like, this man just, no. I feel really bad for his children, because that's got to be very complicated. Yeah. It's a complicated grief, you know, to be like, I don't want to speak for any of them, but if he may not be my favorite person if he was my father, and when he died, I would have very difficult, conflicting feelings about that, and so which would make grieving even harder. You know what I mean? Because it's like,
One of the things I always remember from that era of the Farrah Fawcett, that she didn't quite get the love and respect she deserved at the time of her death. She died on the same day as Michael Jackson. The same day.
Right.
So she had like an hour of press before none.
And she passed in the morning, and then Michael passed, or was confirmed in the afternoon. Yeah. And it's just like overshadowed.
Yeah. Boy. Iconic. Her,
that's Ryan. A fun and festive topic to end on.
Yeah, might as well.
But if you believe in that, you know, there's a balance to the universe where for every good there's a bad thing. We lost Ryan O'Neal, but we also lost Norman Lear, R.I.P., who certainly is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Because that man I didn't call anybody saintly, but he was definitely a good person.
A mensch.
He's a mensch. Yeah. So, you know, I guess the whole balancing thing, I guess, works out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they do say, I don't want any jinxes, but they do say celebrity deaths come in threes. So.
Well, we've had him. Norman Lear, Henry Kissinger, and Ryan O'Neal. So there we go. We're done.
Oh, that's right. We had Henry, so the three. So let's just say everyone's safe this week in Hollywood, in the world. And, you know, keep yourself busy and take yourself all of this tragic news. Why don't you rate, subscribe, review, and follow the Pretty Corrupt Podcast. Share with your friends, your estranged fathers, your rehab counselors, your defense attorneys, and also head on over to social media where you can follow us, Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One, and from those you can find all our personal accounts. And if you haven't listened, remember there are two episodes each week. So this is Pop Culture. The other one is the Bravo Breakdown. So head on over to that as well. See you next episode. Cause no one can do it like we do it.